Hello and welcome to Interrogation, where guidance will always find you when you need it. I am your guide, Dusty. I use they, he pronouns. And today I'm joined by the prolific podcaster. I don't know, I'm trying to do alliteration. Grant, Nordine.
I don't even call prolific very often. Thank you.
You do so much pods. That's and casts.
True. That is true. I am doing more shit than should legally be allowed, I think.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell people listening a little bit about you.
Sure. I'm Grant Nordine. I run the Game Master Monday podcast, which is a one-shot podcast for it's a new system, new cast, new setting every single episode, every 2 weeks. I also produce the live stream version of that show, which is Game Master Monday Presents, which does live miniseries with guest game masters. And I guess this is on the show that I'm actually like thinking about here today. I was also what was called the guide for Bella's Comet.
Another guide. I see.
Another guide. Well, we ran that game. When I ran that game, it was in the Arc Doom system, and that game master is called a guide. A thing I did not learn until we recorded the last episode, and I was reading the book, and I was like, "Oh, all right."
Whenever I'm either in that position or talking to someone, I try to use GM as little as possible. So I'll go MC, storyteller, like anything else. Or sometimes I'll just say the person's name, like, hey.
No, that makes sense. There's so many different types of games. You can be so many different kinds of titles. It took me forever to realize that Call of Cthulhu GMs are called keepers. So, you know, GM is good unilaterally for me.
Yeah. I mean, like, my dumb game uses GB, or Girl Boss.
I like Girl Boss.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, speaking of Bella's Comet, we're going to be talking to a character from there, correct?
We are, yes. This will be mild spoilers for a thing that is over a year old, but there is two separate parts to Bella's Comet, and in the second part, I'm a player in that game. So I'm bringing a character from that world whose name is Io. He's an android. His initials are I-N-O, which stands for Icarus Olbers. And I love him very much. He's an android preacher man in the Old West. Well, the future West. New West.
Where has Io's journey taken them so far? Like, what has been kind of like their story? I mean, of course, there's a good podcast you could go listen to, but...
I'll give the spoilers. It's fine. Io, in this point in the story, was designed. He's an android person, and he is designed to spread the gospel of a man named Jovian Eclipse. And he takes up residency in this Western style town that's 1,000 years from our current future. And he is tasked on finding a special book called the Astronomicon. And over the course of 6 heart-pounding, exciting episodes, a lot of shit happens. He prevents an apocalypse from happening. He accidentally resurrects a former version of his old boss. He learns he's the resurrected version of Jovian Eclipse in some capacity. He almost turns into a real boy, but fights against it because it scares him. A lot of stuff happens to Io. He pals around in the desert with a lizard man and a griffin woman. So, you know, just regular, ordinary fantasy shit. But in the end of it, because we do hit the end in that show, he's more self-actualized and he becomes instrumental in rebuilding what is called the city of Bella's Comet and working side by side scientists and his old friends to make that happen. So... We're picking up there, Io the Rebuilder, the person using his preaching skills to try and bring society back to what it could be.
That's very fun.
I threw a lot of shit at you.
I, too, would fight back against becoming a real boy, because that means I would have to do taxes.
Fair point. Fair point. I hope in the future... When we're redeveloping society, when we get to the point where should we do taxes, the answer is no.
Yeah, because hopefully that like that's just already taken care of.
Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
It does sound like they've had quite the journey. Before we go into the actual reading itself, I have a couple questions. Like, for Io, do they ever... This is not the question, but this is a question I thought of for the question. Do they ever actually go by Icarus? Or is it always Io?
So Icarus Olbers is like his incognito name, if you will. And he has this line in the series where it's the only name he ever chose for himself. So, yeah, he will go by Icarus. A lot of people know him as Icarus or just Preacher. Typically, the Io name is something you learn about him once you learn he is an android. So it's like his close friends who know that name.
Okay, okay. They've had quite the journey. Is there anything specifically they'd be seeking guidance for?
Yes. I think Io spends so much of his life knowing what his purpose was going to be, and then over the course of 6 episodes, unlearned that purpose. So there is still, I want to say, like, you know, it's very nice in a story setting to be like everything is good now, but I think when you're coming out of the fog of a previous ethos, if you will, there is still gonna be a little bit of that fog, especially when you're taking on a lot of new responsibility. So I would imagine he is seeking guidance on what he does next.
Yeah, I think that's understandable. I'm very interested about this because the whole android thing. Is there anything that Io like truly believes as a universal truth? Something that always is and always will be true?
Oh, that's good. A good question. I mean, you're right. He's an android. He was programmed to certain things. His universal truth, his North Star, his guiding philosophy, if you will, has always been that kindness is the right answer. His philosophy is do the most good for the most people. And that's, quite frankly, throughout the course of Bella's Comet, proves him right a lot of the time. Anytime he's opted to take a kinder route on something, it wound up going pretty well for him in the show. So I think that's where his head is at. It's like, this is the one thing I know is consistently true. And it's, if I am a kind person, that is always the right answer.
Right. All right. That's very fun, especially coming from kind of like the character you built him up from.
Yeah.
And I think lastly, I think you have alluded to this kind of in what you've been describing. Has there been a earth-shattering, glass-breaking moment for them of something that they thought was true or thought was always going to be and that just broke into a million pieces?
Yeah, a few, as a matter of fact. During the course of his adventure, he knew that there was this person that existed 500 years ago, and that's who he's trying to model himself after. And over time, as he deviates from his mission, as he does things he didn't think he'd ever wind up doing, and it becomes clear what, like, his programmed intent was, there's a moment when he's wandering out in the desert and slowly changing, where he's like, this is not something that I want. And that's when the ceiling shatters for him, because he's like, I can want things, I can desire, I can feel without needing to become this thing I was literally built to become. So yeah, I think that's the rigor for him. And he has that moment in the desert and he realizes he can have his own thoughts and feelings and experiences and does not need to change anything about himself to achieve that.
That's very good. It's very good.
This was a 6-episode show, for the record. This was an emotional journey with a brick on the gas.
You know, and I love that. Sometimes just like you need a speed run, like like the earth shattering moments for yourself, so you can speed run therapy.
Shout out to you, Leah, if you hear this.
Shout out. Yeah, I'm excited for this reading. So I do think we're going to go ahead and get into it.
Hello, it's me, your host, Dusty. I'm just cutting in for just a quick little bit. Want to shout out Grant. Thanks, Grant, for coming on. It was lovely. This reading is gonna go wild. But want to shout out Grant slash Game Master Monday's next show. You're about to hear a sick as hell ad for it right now.
You've lived a sinner's life. Now you've died a sinner's death.
The first heartbreak is how good it felt to be enveloped in something that didn't hurt. I don't care if it was dark, it was still mine for a moment. I'm so tired.
What goes through your mind as you float through this day after day, night after night?
I should have done more.
I've suffered worse storms than this in my bloody sleep. Give me your all, I say! Come on!
Stay with me, Lord, because I am weak, and I need your strength that I may not fall so often.
Starting November 4th on Game Master Monday, climb aboard the Worthy Maple, sail the Stygian Sea, brave the depths of hell, and find salvation in our next Game Master Monday miniseries, Hell Wailers. Available everywhere you enjoy podcasts.
Doesn't that want you to like learn how to sing old sad sea shanties and think about your life at sea? Maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's called Hell Wailers, so take with that the biggest grain of salt if you would. But please go check it out. Also, if you'd like to hear more, yours truly has been on a couple episodes there. Game Master Monday has a ton of like incredible shows, incredible guests, incredible like mini campaigns, incredible full campaigns, such as the one that Io is from. So please check it out. There'll be a link in the description as well. And for all of those like sickos that wanted the sickos, I say this in the most like lovingly way possible, as I am a sicko myself. If you want to talk about the show with other people, if you go to the Goblets and Gays community Discord, there is a channel to discuss interrogation. I am very active in that server, as well as there's other people that are going to be listening and chatting about it. I'm very proud of the show. I want more people to talk about it. If you like it, go jump in there. Also, if you like the show, please give a 5-star rating, share with your friends, share with your enemies, share with your exes, your frenemies, your lovers, your bros.
Grant, why don't you bring us in? Where is Io currently? Where are they happening upon or searching for this guidance from someone, something, somewhere?
Mm-hmm. I am going to jump us quite a number of years into the future following the finale of Bella's Comet, because we kind of imply that Io exists for quite some time, not being an organic being. There is a city that he was preaching in called Hell's Crater. Over time, he has rebuilt the city that was built inside of the crater left behind by a huge comet, and is slowly trying to introduce it back to civilization. And he's been doing this alongside a scientist named Ada Aquarids. And I would imagine in this particular case, he's just kind of out for a walk. So Io wears a preacher's regalia, if you will, you know, like in Tombstone and that kind of shit. He's got like, you know, the big hat, a little white thing, poking out of a collar, bow tie. What's it called when you're a cowboy? A bowler tie.
Bolo tie, yeah.
Bolo. What did I say? Bowler? Bolo tie. Yes. Mm-hmm. Suit coat, slacks. Kind of like a black duster, and he's just wandering through the town. And I would imagine it's like kind of a gloomy day out here in the desert, one of those monsoon seasonal rains that you get every now and again, and he's existed long enough where the town is starting to thrive a bit more. So maybe more shops, more businesses, more people are coming into town. They're screwing around with technology more. So we still have like the Western digs that were the flavor of the town of Hell's Crater, like your stagecoaches, your saloons and such. But now maybe they have neon trims. Maybe the stagecoaches aren't pulled by horses anymore. They are more utilizing maybe some kind of hovering technology and have just like floating off of the ground with a person sitting at the very front, just kind of guiding it with a little monitor. And he's just seeing everyone go by and knowing that he's played a part in this, knowing he's been Ada's moral center, that he's been making sure that as society develops, they're continuing the mantra of do the most good for the most people. But maybe the people don't always share that sentiment. Like, no matter how much good he does, not everyone is interested in doing so, even if the society is built that way. And he knows the ins and outs of this town, every single inch and building in it. But maybe one new one catches his attention as one he's never previously seen before, has a maybe almost like ethereal, dreamlike essence to it. And he thinks to himself, that is odd. I don't typically perceive dream. And yet this feels like what one could call a dream. It's kind of like walks up to the front door of it.
Yeah, and it does kind of have this like same etherealness, but it also looks like it should belong here. And as you open the door, it's kind of like the saloon doors to fit into this theme. And you're met with a strange vision. It's a big room. And maybe at one point seemed to be a room of a casino that was kind of popped out of time and placed here. So there's like slot machines on the side. You see that there are kind of like blackjack tables, roulette tables. No one there. And despite the flashing lights of all the slot machines and everything going on, it is eerily quiet. And you're drawn to the middle of a room where there is a figure sitting down at what seems to be like a blackjack table. And as you kind of step in, it whirs to life. And you now see that this seems to be some kind of like robotic or creature, or even just like a robot, and it has a blank faceplate, and its head kind of like turns around a couple times, like, well, howdy there. Are howdy. You the sheriff?
Oh, no, my name is Icarus Olbers. I am here to help. I am the resident preacher here in town.
Oh, wrong place. Yeah, hey. Well, how can I do you?
I do not know, friend. Do you have a name you go by?
Oh, Guide. Yeah.
Ah, okay. I will refer to you as such. What is this facility? I do not recall it.
It's a place for doing things and nothing at the same time. Kind of like sit here. You can either just stare at the lights and kind of... Have you heard of a thing called a liminal space? It's kind of like that. It's here when you need it and not when you don't.
Intellectually, I know what these words mean, though I do not understand. So, if this is a space that is and is not, am I looking around and seeing nobody's here? Then, what do you do when it is?
Well, they're going to kind of like, they have, is the first thing that comes to mind, they kind of have arms that look like Bender from Futurama.
Hell yeah.
Or maybe more accurately like the robots from Robots. They kind of like wiggle around, and you see like a three-fingered metallic hand comes upon the table and hits a button that is not meant to be seen. And in front of them, like, a holographic deck of cards appear. They're like, well, I'm a guide, and some people need it when they have questions, or some people need it when they just need to get away. Do you have one or the other? I can help with the questions.
Odd. I do have those things. I feel compelled. Part of me does not believe this is something that ought to be, and yet I do want to ask.
Well, and they're going to kind of wave their hand over this holographic deck, and it's going to kind of go over this table, and you see now that it's not a deck of cards that you would use for blackjack. It seems to be that of, you're unsure. You may have heard something called tarot a long, long time ago. And you see that there's images of cups, coins, swords, sticks, and are like, even though it's a holographic image, it seems to be very intricate paintings of different things. It's like, well, this little cards here, they're gonna continue it, and they're gonna like, it does like a shuffling motion, and they're gonna land next to them. Like, these, they're tools to help you kind of like guide your questions, guide your way. So if you want, I could set up what's called a reading for you. I'll be the reader.
I do have a memory of this. Tarot is connected to the stars, yes?
Yeah, connected to the stars. It's kind of ingrained in all kinds of cultures, all different cultures, but it is connected to the stars, to the earth, and all in between and without.
Io just remembers a lot of what he's been told over the course of his life, and especially during those extremely eventful 3 days all those decades ago, when he technically saved the world from a world-ending event with his friends who have long since passed. And he remembers meeting a person whose face he never saw, but it was a voice, a creature who was constantly shifting, who claimed to be centered around the stars, all the things telling him that he's another reincarnation of this person who was named after the planet Jupiter in some capacity. And he just like kind of nods silently, and in the best way an android can show emotion, he does this thing with his one eye. This kind of like makes it glisten as if there's a tear inside of it, but isn't. It's a feature they gave him to make him seem empathetic in church. And he goes, I do desperately want to do this. I do have a question.
Well, all right. Let's do it. And so they're going to move their hand, and three cards are going to appear on this table in front of you. Oh, interesting. Two cards stuck together.
Oh.
We'll keep it like that. For holographic reasons. And they're going to kind of like go around the table and lay in front of you face down. You see that there is a strange kind of like design on the back, and they're going to point out, well, so we're going to do what's, it's a three card reading, and it's done different ways. Some people like to say, as they're going to point to different cards, this is the past, the present, the future. Though how I do it, this first card here, this is going to be kind of the root of your question, the root of your problem, the root of maybe the solution. It's the root cause of it. This middle one here, and they're going to touch it, and they see it's kind of like glitching as if there's two cards there. It's like, oh, strange. Well, this one here is part of this. You may already know it, but it's maybe playing a bigger part than you may expect it. And this last one, this is a force, a problem, a solution that recontextualizes all of this that you may have not even considered or even seen. So,
okay.
They won't be answers per se. I think the answers can only be found within yourself,
but these will be guides.
Your methods are not dissimilar to what I am familiar with. I will accept the guidance in whatever form it comes in.
Incredible. All right, well, let's go ahead and start. Well, yeah, let's just start.
So they're going to go ahead and tap the first card. It's going to flip over to the Queen of Coins. They're going to kind of look at it over. It's like, well, this is interesting. So this one usually symbolizes that you are big-hearted, down to earth, trustworthy, resourceful. It's kind of all those things. So maybe whatever you're looking for, that is maybe what it is. And it's kind of been with you the whole time.
I have worked exceptionally hard to be a dependable and trustworthy and heartfelt person. It's in my programming, but it is also my desire to be so. I do a lot of things for a lot of people.
Well, let's see if there's anything perhaps stopping that. And they're going to touch the card, and the two cards are going to separate. One's going to get put off to the side, still face down.
Cool.
It's like, well, oh, interesting. This one is, so this is the Queen of Wands. So
a second queen.
This is interesting as well. Usually the Queen of Wands will be something about self-assurance, energy, some cheerfulness, some wholeheartedness, but it is reversed. So when it's reversed like this, that usually means that there tends to be a lack of all of that there. And you know, like, maybe to get into your actual nurturing, they're going to glitch it, nurturing is being blocked by, you're unable to be self-assured. You're missing something to be cheerful.
I think that has merit. I have been a guide of sorts for people who are getting increasingly more powerful. And with power comes the unfortunate nature to want to corrupt, and usually the voices like my own who advise against such can start to be boxed out. But also the city itself seems to lose its kind heart the bigger it gets. But we have to build. There's a conundrum in my head.
Well, take a look at this last one. They're going to now tap the final card. Oh, interesting. They're going to flip over the Ace of Wands. Well, the Ace of Wands itself symbolizes creative force, confidence, courage, and enthusiasm for this. So this right here may be the key to what you're looking for. Maybe you need to think outside the box.
There's a solution that I've not previously thought of, but it is this line of thinking that led to my victory before. There must be something I'm missing.
Well, I can tell you right now, It seems like you may be missing confidence in yourself.
This resonates. I've been merely doing a job. Been doing it well. But as the efforts get expended? It just seems that the less understood they become, if they are even listened to. So perhaps I need to find what I had previously to resolve the issue. I may need that book again.
Books can have all kinds of truths in them. Yeah. Well, I'll say normally this is where this reading ends, but the cards here have a little something for you. It looks like there's another card that was pulled that wanted to be pulled. Do you have a lingering question?
I have a lingering fear that perhaps if I pursue the same role that Jovian Eclipse had, which I'm currently doing in assisting Ada, that I might start to become someone I'm not again. And perhaps that is why I have not been expanding every effort to ensure the success of the city and to push for higher morality, because that is what Jovian would do.
This featureless robot ahead of you, they nod their head and they're gonna tap that card. Interesting. And they're going to flip over the Nine of Cups. Reverse. So, this here, to kind of pull that all in together, usually symbolizes satisfaction, the fulfillment of one's wishes. But again, it's reversed. So, whatever is blocking that for yourself, whatever is impeding that fear, forcing that fear, I think is just stopping you from what you need to do.
Yes, I am holding on to a nearly century-old fear. A fear I've conquered before, merely because I don't have the same people around me as I did before. But I am quite literally designed to help. And perhaps I need to finally embrace that role again, even though my task has become larger.
Well, if you know that you're good at helping, I think you should go and help.
If I may, guide, I know these cards aren't meant to provide answers, but instead help locate the answer within us. But I do wonder, where does one even begin on this new path of self-assurance?
Well, I think that's something that only you could answer, but we could always turn to the deck.
I believe I'd like one more, if you have the means.
Of course, you're getting right into the casino vibes. Okay, one more, and they're gonna tap the holographic deck and they're going to pull one more card. Well, let's see where you should start. This is interesting.
So, this is the Knight of Wands. The knights of these respective suits, is what they would call it, are finicky. When they are upright and reversed, they actually have completely different meanings. Reversed means that there is something hot-tempered within you, something restless, superficial, foolhardy, something there. Whatever is that part of you, the part that's in your way, I believe you should probably start there.
I know exactly where this comes from. I have been so focused on trying to be Icarus Ulmer's that I seem to have forgotten that I can also contain the essences and beliefs and even the philosophies and tempers of my former compatriots. You said hot-headed, and it made me miss my friend Xavier. I know what he would do in this situation, and I think that's a great place to start. Thank you.
Of course, sounds like I have guided you as much as I can.
Now, when I leave, will you return to not being?
Oh, I'm never not being. I'm just somewhere else.
Well, thank you for visiting our town. And in the tradition of our town, I like take my hat off and I tip it towards you. I hope you have happy trails.
They're going to take off their head and tilt it towards you and put it back on. You as well. And I think you are able to leave. You push open these double doors and the silence that was in the room breaks and you're suddenly back where you were. You turn around, place is gone.
Odd. I don't typically dream, but this does feel like one, based on what I've been told of them. I'm going to need to have a long, honest, and difficult conversation with a room full of scientists.
And I think we'll fade away from there.
This is so fun, are you kidding me? Fun to be back in my boy's head. It's been like literally like I think 9 months since I got to play Io, so it's fun to check in on him.
Yeah, so before we head off into the night, how do you feel this go? Did this feel incredibly spot on? Was any of it surprising at all for Io?
I think it was. I'm gonna say both. It was spot on and surprising. I'm really glad we did the last card reading, especially because it was fun to, like, you know, all my words all at once, all at the same time. Io's whole thing is like, I'm resisting changing into something I don't want to be, but it was cool to, like, you know, keep mining into that thing and being like, why are you resisting learning from your friends and behaving like them? And I was like, oh, okay, well, I know my criminal friend Xavier, who helped me literally save the world and shot a lot of guys, would not be afraid of fucking anything. So why should I literally stood with him? I'm going to go do that thing. Like, that made a lot of sense to me for Io. And so, like, just validating the concerns and the wants. Hey, that's cool, even for a guy playing a robot, you know?
I agreed. And like this deck that I'm using, because it's like glossy and has like holographic print on it.
That you can kind of see. Cool. It's a great deck.
Yeah, I love it, but they're sleeved. So the whole, the second card that was on it, this Nine of Cups was actually behind the Queen of Wands.
It's such a good, like, I mean, I know there's like no way to plan this. Everything is off the cuff improvisation, like, you know, world build and character build off of a tarot reading. But like, even the very fact that like the game glitched and had a second card there, I was like, this is so fucking Bella's Comet coded. This rules. It's so good.
Yeah, and I think it was very poignant, especially like throwing out the Nine of Cups. And then the reverse knight, that was me chuckling, because like I'm always scared of the knights. Because the knights, like the upright and reverse could be so very like varied in thing, and it could be two very opposite ends. I'm like, oh dear.
No, it was cool. I loved it. Yeah, I mean, everything front to back was just super like on the nose, like poignant. Like based on our previous conversations, I knew exactly what I wanted Io to be struggling with. Literally the very notion of history repeating itself, because that's everything Bella's Comet is about. Everything is cyclical. How do you break out of it? And boom, there it is.
But yeah, I think we could go off into the night from here. But before we do, Graham, where can people find you? Where can people find all the incredible stuff you do?
Yeah, hi, I am the titular Game Master over at Game Master Monday. You can find us anywhere you get podcasts. We post every 2 weeks. We should be wrapping up a little mini series called Hell Wailers right about now. I'm recording this from the past, so I'm just going to say it's great. I'm probably right. it's got some amazing people on it, and it's spooky. Apart from there, you can find us on socials, on Twitter, Threads, Instagram. If you search Game Master Monday, we pop right up. If I remember Blue Sky, we're there too, but that's if I remember it exists every so often. And yeah, follow us on Twitch too. We're always posting cool shit. We do live mini-series, goofy one-shots, and maybe you'll see Dusty in a thing that's going to be starting up here in January on there. I don't know. Who's to say?
Who could say? Well, Grant, thank you for joining me. This was so lovely. And that will be it for now. And remember, guidance will find you whether you want it or not. Goblets and Gays presents Interrogation. If you like the show, please rate and review and share with a friend. You can find more tabletop shows at Goblets and Gays online. Our intro and outro theme was by Ferris. You can find more of their work at eferrisgames.itch.io. All additional music in the show is found on Epidemic Sound, all by Rocket Jr., which you can find in the description below. You can also follow the show online at Interrogate. And if you'd like to reach us, you can do so at interrogationpodcast@gmail.com. All links to the show can be found in the description below.